Come on, Norster Kenius.
I was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border Turkle, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 81 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, November 22nd, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about shutouts, dirty hits, fights, and trading defensemen. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hello.
Yeah, we're coming up on Turkey Day here.
Gobble, gobble.
Guys got some big plans for eating some turkey and
Family. Yeah. Family.
We're doing the 6th annual combined family at my house.
Oh, man. So what do you got, like 80 people up there?
Almost.
Brady Bunch style.
Oh, yeah.
How many birds you cook?
We do a bird and some ham, and there's all sorts of stuff. There's always too much food anyways. I wonder how much food gets wasted on Thanksgiving.
If you're smart, none.
None, see?
You'll be eating turkey sandwiches for 3 weeks afterwards, right? You know?
And turkey soup from the carcass, right. Turkey salad. Yep.
I'm drinking turkey beer right now, bitches.
I think about I don't know about you guys, but I think the one thing that never lasts is a stuffing. That always just tends to go right away.
If you put enough butter in it, it stays moist.
And butter and...
You mean go as in go bad, or go as in like gets eight?
Eight, like...
Okay.
That's the one thing it's like you never have enough leftovers of.
No.
Ours is always wild rice. Like...
We never do wild rice.
But I like wild rice.
Yeah,
wild
so do
rice
I.
Is good. That's that sounds tasty.
You know, the gas station where we go camping at, right off of 35...
On 70, Highway 70.
Yeah. I picked some of the wild rice up coming back from Hinckley after one of the shows there. It's actually really good stuff. I highly recommend it if you're up that way.
At the Puke and Choke Cafe.
If you're in that neck of the woods and you're looking for some wild rice.
Up by Rock Creek.
It was actually good and good pricing on it, too, at least when I got it. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, before we get too much into Turkey Day here, just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We are at 3 in the Box.
Sorry, that's me hunting.
Again, that's us. We are at
I missed them.
We are at 3 in the Box. Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't talk. Let's just talk about the wild here.
All right.
Okay.
So, the week started out... The fruitless trip out east there to take on the Penguins and then the Bruins. It didn't come out in the Wild's favor there, we'll just say that.
Bad week.
It was. And then, you know, but they finished it off, Dubnyk getting his third shutout of the season and his 11th win when they took on the Predators here at home. So,
Perds.
That was looking up. It was a physical week, though. I mean, in the games, there was lots of hitting, and there was definitely some scuffles or scraps going on.
Our first three in the box of the season.
Our first three in the box of the season. You know, players flying into open doors.
Thank all of you fans for pointing it out, too. That was quite awesome.
It was, actually. It's like we couldn't keep up with all the Twitter comments and three in the box. There's a three in the box. There's a three in the box. It's like this is like the best day ever on Twitter.
And luckily, some of you other people got better pictures than us because ours on the TV came out a little, it looked a little 70s psychedelic-ish.
People are still appreciating the three in the box-ish ofness of it, you know. Yeah.
So, well, looking back at this week, I mean, what do you guys think about Dubnyk's performance this week? And I mean, I guess my main question is: he getting overplayed here? I mean, we haven't seen him be spelled here for several games now,
right?
So, I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, you know, I'm going to say, and you know, I think the game last night was the big indicator of what Dubnyk is right now,
and he's playing really well. Even though we lost, you know, by four, you know, he gave up four goals the last two games, I don't think that it's really indicative of his play. It's more indicative of the poor defensive play that he's had in front of him.
I agree. I mean, I think he actually played fairly well against Pittsburgh. There was a couple of bad calls in that game, and I think a couple of defensive breakdowns that didn't help. Obviously, I mean, only three other goalies have three shutouts. It's a total of four goalies this year have three shutouts on the season, and I mean, he's one of them. So you can't really argue with that. I mean, I think he's been playing well. Some of his numbers don't show it, but I mean, when he's on, he's on.
Well, and honestly, you know, you really have to look at a goalie like a pitcher. You know, you can't just necessarily look at his save percentage or his goals against average.
Yeah.
Because you actually, you know, if he's going to have a bad game, you want him to have his bad games all at once.
All at once, yeah.
You know? Because if he's...
Well, you want it to pour when it rains.
Right. Because that
way... have more sunny days.
Right. Because, you know, if he's getting shut out, and then gives up, you know, 11 goals, he's not going to have a very good goals against average. But he won three games and only lost one. That's pretty good.
Yeah. We don't want to get all Seattle up here and have it rainy and drizzly every day.
No.
Right. It's like, if it's going to be bad, just let it be all at once, you know?
Well, and hopefully, I mean, because that was also the Pittsburgh and Boston trip was his first two consecutive losses in regulation that he's had with the Wild so far.
Not including the playoffs.
And, you know, and that did come, three losses in a row with Dallas, Pittsburgh, Boston.
Right.
So hopefully that was the thunderstorm that just rolled through, and we're looking at, you know, rainbows and unicorns now.
And that does kind of lead me to my next question, too. You know, because basically, I mean, we're seeing a lot more offensiveness out of our defensive men this year.
We're getting a lot more goals.
They're jumping up in the game. They're getting a lot more goals. But that in turn, you know, I'm seeing a lot of two-on-ones, three-on-ones, three-on-twos coming back the other way, where we got, you know, one back checker who's, you know, struggling to get back into the action there to even things up. And, you know, enough of those high percentage chances and the other team is bound to score goals. They're all professionals out here. They're there for a reason, and they're going to eventually start capitalizing on those. And I think, you know, when I look back on a lot of the goals that happened even over this week against Dubnyk, that's what a lot of them were. They were, you know, we're outnumbered that, or we make a bad turnover and, and,
we pass into, Pominville passes into someone's skates and it's a turnover.
Right.
But you know, honestly,
Pominville lets in a goal off of his skate on Dubnyk.
Right. I think you do bring up a good point, but I do notice that a lot of those instances actually seem to be coming off of Dumba, because he usually goes in pretty far into the offensive zone, and I don't know if he's just getting wrapped up in the play, but he's very slow to get back, even though he's not a slow skater. You know, there's certain guys that are rarely going in that far, and that's like Suter, Brodin, probably, you know,
Spurgeon
and Scandell. You see it a little less, but they still will, you know, cheat a little bit. Prosser is almost never, but when he does, it's like, what the hell is he doing?
Follin doesn't really go in much. Follin either. Doesn't.
He's, Dumba, he's,
well, though. The other day I saw Follin get right up in there in his shot. I can't remember who got the rebound off of his shot that he put on net that scored a goal. And I mean, it's a good thing that we do have the defense stepping up like that. And I know I hear what you're saying about Dumba, but you also have to look too. When a defensive player steps up like that, there should be a natural rotation within your whole unit out there where, you know.
You got to have a forward dropping back and playing D.
Somebody should be shifting back at that point. Right.
And center.
And a lot of times you'll see Koivu, if he's on the ice, he's the one shifting back like that.
Koivu is also very defensive-minded center. I mean, he's a very two-way center.
Right. And I mean, you do see that. Koivu more so. You know, if you got the Vanek line out there, you know, yeah. Vanek, Granny, and Pominville right now since, Parise's out. Yeah. Those three, those guys aren't really fall back guys, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think Granny's getting a little better.
Yeah.
But I think some of it is just lack of experience that Koivu has.
Right. And, you know, they need to do something. But you're probably right, though. It probably has hurt and led to more you know, rushes. Right.
But is that a bad thing, even? I mean, when you look at it, I feel this year that offensively, as a team, we're performing a lot better. And I know a lot of times last year we would score like one goal a game.
Well,
when we did lose,
you know, if it leads to more goals than it does goals against, why not? Right?
Well, exactly.
But then you're going to have those days where
right. Well, but it also means that you're going to have games where you're down by a goal or two, and you go, we think we can still win this. This is still a winnable game.
Yeah.
You know, back in the Lemaire day, we're down by a goal or two, and it's third period. You know, I might as well go and turn off the TV and go have another beer and, you know, drink my tears away.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, it's a definite opposite side of the pendulum from the Lemaire days. I mean, we got a whole trap system and everybody falling back to now we have guys stepping up. And I mean, I don't know if you really want something in between that, because it's just going to be kind of a mediocre thing. I think you want one or the other to either keep a very slow paced game or a very up tempo game.
Yeah. And as you had mentioned, we got, you know, the little bit of change in the lines due to, like, Parise being out, and we do have several other injuries that are going on right now. Scandella is out now with a lower
flu.
Body. The flu? I've heard a lower
stomach
body.
Stomach bugs.
And that was Brodin that had the flu.
Hala had it first, and then Brodin got it.
Scandella's a lower body, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And then we still got, you know, Parise, Fontaine, Graovac, they're all still out. So, I mean, these injuries are mounting up. And, I mean...
And we escaped Zucker not having a big injury.
Yeah, he went down late in the game.
Yeah. And it was just apparently hit a nerve and...
A stinger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it didn't look very hard, but it was also in garbage time. Yep. The Wild run, it was less than a minute left. It was actually as the
whistle was, or the horn was almost there. 15 seconds maybe.
I mean, he was on the ice when time was expired.
Right.
You know, and it was a garbage slash. The guy even said that, you know, he slashed him and he didn't think it was going to be that bad. But, you know, Bolesky, I think it was, you know.
Yeah, you hit somebody in the right spot and that'll happen. But with all the injuries like that are going on.
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
But yeah, all the injuries, you know, they start to mount up. And I mean, there's only so many people that are, you know, can be pulled up to, you know, be expected to play at the NHL level and be able to keep us rolling. I mean, do you guys think that, you know, how do you think the Wild are going to fare here through these injuries and if there were more injuries?
I don't think we have the depth right now.
We don't. And, you know, not to tease it, but I know we'll be talking more about the Wild depth issues later on in the show. But
the baby Wild might as well be playing squirts right now.
Right. But speaking of injuries, actually, you know, midway through the second in that game against the Penguins, Niederreiter had a very solid cross check on Alimata, and basically what happened was it took Mata into the boards, but it happened to be just as Kemper was opening the door to the bench, and Mata crumpled. I know me and Kenny were watching the game, and I was like, holy crap,
it was bad.
It was not a good circumstance. You know, Niederreiter wasn't called for anything during the play.
Well, had the door been closed, he probably would have been fine.
And it did just follow, you know, Niederreiter himself being cross-checked
a few times
on the end boards. And I think he was cross-checked several times throughout the game that went uncalled. you, at the very least, you could say that the refs were, you know, being uniform and not calling any cross checks.
Right.
You know, but it turns out that Mata was sent to the hospital. He's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. Apparently no internal injuries, but he's probably pretty sore and pretty messed up because it was a bad hit.
Yeah.
And the Nita Rider ended up with no supplemental discipline. So I know we've all seen the hit. Was it clean? Do you think?
In my opinion, I don't think that it was a dirty hit. I mean, you'll see it happen all over the ice at any time, you know, where you nudge somebody, you know, with, you know, both hands out like that, and they're not going to call that a cross check. A cross check is more when you're blatantly coming across, like, you know, somebody's head and or shoulders and above, basically. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that it was the cleanest hit. It's not like, you know, you could expect it coming, but it seemed more to me like he gave him a nudge and Mata lost his edge and went sliding. And I mean, bad place, wrong time.
I agree. Not the cleanest, no, but definitely not intentional. I am kind of surprised he didn't get called during the game for a 2-minute infraction.
Right.
Just because somebody was hurt?
No, I mean, he did go down. It's not like he just kind of, you know, completely, like, just shoved him out of the way and he ended up tripping after the fact. I mean, he kind of went down from the hit and it just happened to be he went into the door.
Well, and let's be honest, it was a reckless hit. I mean,
The puck was nowhere near him.
He had just passed it, and you know it was that close to the boards. It was on the numbers, so it wasn't like Mata could see him checking him. But I think Jai makes a good point that it did look like he caught an edge too.
Yeah.
So it was like a combination of a whole bunch of things that made it really bad.
But those little nudges, they happen all over the ice all game long.
They were happening
just because somebody loses an edge and falls into the boards.
And they're not always nudges either.
No. Yeah. I mean, go stand down in front of the net and tell me how many times you'll actually see a cross check down there.
Jackhammering going on that game.
Yeah.
Right.
It happens all over the place.
So another thing that kind of came out of this play was that the league is saying, well, maybe we need to re-look at allowing the gates of the doors to be open during play.
Well, this has been brought up before.
Right. But this was, you know, I think if that door is closed, and I think everyone involved basically said, if that door is closed, there's probably no injury.
No injury.
No, he would have bounced off cleanly instead of catching the edge.
Right.
Way to go, Kemper.
Maybe Kemper broke Harding's foot last year.
See?
Uh-huh. Haven't we already posed that as a topic?
As a conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
No, I
maybe Kemper's the most evil Wild player ever.
Possibly.
Maybe. He's like worse than Cook.
Ooh.
He's just a little more sly about it, that's all.
Right.
Yeah. I could agree, though.
If Dubnyk ends up injured by the end of the season, we know to look for, right?
I'm going after Kemper.
Right.
We're looking for Harding, then?
No. I don't think we have to worry about that.
Right. So do you think that the door thing should be a rule where no gates open during the...
During play, I think that's a fine rule. I mean, as a hockey player, go over the damn boards. If you're too old to go over the boards, you shouldn't be on ice then anyways.
Yeah.
and save it for when there's a stoppage of play. Then you can open the doors up and let people through. Why should you be able to create an opening in the, you know, boundaries of the rink while the game's in play?
What if you're pulling a goalie, though?
You can't expect the goalies to jump the boards, too.
You want the goalie to go over the boards. Lift those big pads up. Oh, are your pads too big? Make them smaller.
I thought we were just going to increase the size of the net.
Okay.
I want to decrease the size of the goalie, maybe. maximum height of 5'7". Right. All Darren Pang level goalies.
Nice. Well, I mean, Aaron, I think you have in here, you know, Penguins coach Mike Johnson, you know, says it was just an unfortunate accident. And I think we all agree.
And he knows Nino because he coached Nino right. in Portland. So
I think he should explain that to Jeremy Roenick. Roenick was looking for Nino's head. You know what? A little bit of a tangent. Can we please, 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 like, figure out a way to overdub the NBC guys on the national televised games? it was absolutely atrocious. We might as well have been watching a Pittsburgh feed.
A little off topic, but I did catch something. I think it was a few weeks back. It was Roenick out on a golf course trying to catch an alligator. What?
I wish it would have turned around and bit him in the face.
What a meathead.
Dude, you get that? Did you get that?
He's not worried about the vertical video that his buddy is filming.
Yep.
And I think it was most telling. This is we're totally getting off topic here. Is that his buddy is more concerned about being pulled into the water by Roenick. It's like, what kind of buddy? I mean, if I'm golfing with you and there's an alligator by,
let's get the fuck out of here.
I'm not expecting you guys to throw me in the water with the alligator. Right. but his buddy is expecting him to throw him in the water with an alligator.
Well,
that's when you know you've got a true friend.
Hold my beer.
Is this just going to character witness on Roenick right now on why he should not be on NBC Sports? Multiple reasons?
Well, there's a few guys on NBC Sports we could go into about that. But
well, speaking of NBC and NBC Sports, a game coming up that'll more than likely be on one of them is going to be the All-Star Game.
CNBC, probably.
Maybe. Maybe that's just the old-timers game. So, we got a new format this year.
For the All-Star Game.
So, because of this whole 3-on-3 thing, and the league thinks it's working so well, that's how they're going to do the game. No more captains, no more picking teams.
More drunk Ovechkin.
No more drafts to get the car for the charity, right. The last picked.
Right.
So we'll have a 3-on-3 with four division teams. So our four current divisions will each have a team consisting of 11 players.
Which also kind of slights the two Eastern divisions because they got more teams and less players.
A little bit.
You know.
Plus the West is better, so I mean...
Well,
which is going to make it interesting on this format,
right?
So you know, two goalies, six forwards, three D per team, made up of your division guys pulled.
Yep.
So the All-Star Game is going to consist of three 20-minute games. The first two games are going to be conference opponents, so it would be
Central versus Pacific,
and Metro versus
Atlantic.
Right.
The winner of those two games will play in a league championship game. So, I don't know. How do you guys feel about this? I mean, A, do you think there's enough skaters in there, first of all?
Well, I think the only way I'm going to really embrace this game is if they change it from the All-Star Game to the All-Star Hootenanny. Because it is something. As far as skaters... There's not enough players. Look at the Central Division and try to pick the six best forwards. That's tough. I mean,
right?
You could take any two teams, really, and you could. Well, you could make an argument for those two teams having all six spots.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, you're looking at essentially two forward or two centers, two left wing, two right wing. You know, out of the killer players right now.
I mean, you got seven teams and 11 spots. So many teams are going to have one player. And
a lot of guys are going to get slighted on this.
Yes.
So next question, how would you play two goalies? Do you do 10 minutes and then swap them? Do you say, hey, we feel confident enough that we're going to win this first game, so we'll just switch our goalies for game two?
Well, I wonder if there won't even be like a requirement that, you know, they change over a goalie midway through or something like that.
Yeah, I think there might be a break in between.
Yeah.
So you're probably right. They may just switch it, you know.
So, well, this will also mean more goalies going to the All-Star game as well.
It will, yeah.
They'll more goalies, instead of less six.
Offense. Well, I guess there'd actually end up being more offensemen. I mean, more players in general.
More skaters also, yeah.
To the All-Star game.
But it also could mean more players from crappier teams.
it's going to be spread out more, I believe.
That's one thing that they've got to be looking at, though, is that, you know, you're going to get involvement from a lot more teams this way, and you're probably trying to draw in more of an, you know, audience from everywhere. Know one of their players is going to be, you know, in the game, they might be more willing to watch.
The weird thing, though, is that the league is pushing the divisional rivalry, you know. Oh, Minnesota, you hate St. Louis.
Boston last
Dallas,
year, according to NBC.
Chicago, Winnipeg, you hate all these
now
teams.
Now go play together.
Now be friends, yeah. You know.
Now go on the jungle gym and have fun together.
Are their uniforms going to have ponies and unicorns on them? I mean.
Aaron, I think last year, I think I came up here to watch the game with you, I believe, the All-Star game. And I think it was the first time that I've watched the All-Star game in about like 4 years, just because I don't really get into it. It's a shooting gallery, essentially.
It totally is.
Is this going to be any better for it? Is this something that's, it might get some high ratings this year, and then next year it's going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, it's just a fad?
Well, I mean, it's already high scoring, right? So you can't get much more high scoring than it already is.
Add 3-on-3, though.
And 3-on-3, it might be a little more.
A lot of open ice.
It's a lot of open ice. Might be a little more entertaining, rather than, you know, because you on 3-on-3. Let's look at the actual real play so far this year. When you got 3-on-3, you're not getting a lot of big checks. You're not having a lot of like board battles or anything like that. It's very clean, very open play, and that actually really kind of lends itself to the All-Star game. You know, because they're not checking each other. It's not a physical play.
No, it's all about the Olympics.
And, yeah. So it might actually work out. Not actually. I don't think the scoring's going to go down, but you know, it really lends itself to that style. You know,
I think that from what we've seen of the 3-on-3 and the overtimes, I mean, personally, I've actually kind of enjoyed it. I wasn't sure about it at first, but
I think most people have.
I think it's a little bit more exciting. You open things up. You see a little bit more of the finesse and the, you know, I don't wacky kind of not wacky plays, but you
get some more dangling happening.
Yeah, there's a little bit more creativity that happens when you have a little bit more open ice around you.
Right.
All
right.
So
you're not looking for as many people to come knock you off your block.
Who do you guys predict is going for the Wild this year?
See, that's really the tough question, isn't it?
I would definitely see Parise heading there.
Basically, even if every team gets one forward, one team is not getting a forward in this system. It's like you look at,
okay,
Dallas, you got Ben, right?
Sharp. Sharp's been on fire.
Kane has been on fire.
Taves.
Backus.
Tarasenko. Wow.
You know, it's...
Ouch, man. And you're only looking at six forwards.
Right. It gets clogged really quick.
Okay, so how about D?
You know, obviously Suter, right?
Spurgeon, maybe?
I don't know if we'll see two of our defense.
We're not going to... I mean, with only three guys, you're only going to see one guy. And it's got to be... Suter at that point, right?
I would think it would have to be Suter.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we have one. Yeah.
Yeah, because you look at Roman Josi, I'm trying to think of who else you would pick. Bufflin,
Yeah.
Depending on if they're still going with the every team that gets a representative, is it Bufflin? Who's Winnipeg's, representative?
Okay, two goalies.
Well, I think at this point,
Niemi.
Niemi, Dubnyk.
But Dubnyk, he's got 3 shutouts. I mean, come on.
But I mean, his other numbers don't look so great for an all-star goalie.
But he's got 11 wins now.
Yeah, he does,
and he's right up there at the top of the league.
So maybe we send Dubnyk.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be crazy.
It'll be really interesting. Are we going to have 3 players? I don't think so.
No, I doubt it.
I think you can make an argument that we should have 2. But okay, so let's lay it out here. If you got to pick 2 guys to represent us, who do you think is and should represent the Wild?
My 2 would be Parise and Dubnyk, actually.
I was thinking the same thing. Well, oh man.
Parise missed a lot of time though at this point.
He has, but when he is in there, he's a difference maker. And
he was up there in goals, until
he went out
there. But Vanek's passed him now.
Yeah, because he's had more playing time. Ooh, but
you're throwing Vanek into the mix now?
I'm just saying, he's been on fire.
But what I'm looking at is beyond the stats. And, you know, Parise's that guy who just, like, gets down there and he digs and he digs and he works and he works. I mean, he's a workhorse and he goes and gets it. And that's...
But would it not be sexy to see Vanek doing all his no-look stuff and 3-on-3?
Between his legs.
Can I still pick Healy? Yeah. Mr. All-Star.
You can pick Brodziak.
Brodziak! I'm going to go Dubnyk, and I'm kind of torn between Parise or Suter, though, which, oh, man, maybe Suter. I'm gonna go Dubnyk and Suter. I'm going to say send the defensive core out.
I think there's going to be too many forwards. I don't. As much as I want Parise to be there, I don't think he's going to be there, so I'm going to go Suter, Dubnyk. I think those are the 2 that go. Yeah.
All right. So I think we got some questions to answer.
Yeah, so we got some Twitter talk.
Get into the Twitter talk.
So we kind of have a, we're going to combine 2 of them right now. Tony Dean, at Tony Dean HB, and Derek Felska at State of Hockey News with no vowels in hockey.
Hickey
News.
I'm sure Derek loves us revisiting it every time he asks a question.
they both had mentioned the Hamonic as a, you know, trade or, you know, what to get for him. So to summarize the questions, I mean... Would he be an upgrade to our current blue line, and what would we be willing to give for him?
And for those who aren't in the know, Hamonic has asked for a trade from the Islanders. He's asked Garth Snow to trade him to a Western team, particularly a Western Canadian team, but, you know, Minnesota is close to the West and close to Canada, so why not us?
And St. Paul's on the east side of the river.
True, yeah. So,
what's his boundary?
What is his boundary? I'm pretty sure he grew up in Winnipeg, so, you know.
Probably looking at going to the Jets.
But Twin Cities wouldn't be very far from Winnipeg, really. You know, to the question at hand, though, you know, who would we give up for Hamonic? I think really the question is, would we give up anyone for Hamonic? He's getting paid a lot of money, and that's going to be the big thing. He's getting paid
almost $4 million.
Almost $4 million.
That means we got to get rid of a lot of cap space to bring that in,
right? You know, he hasn't had, you know, stat wise, he hasn't had the greatest year. You know, with 4 points on the year. That being said, you're pretty much limited to just a couple of faces. On if Garth Snow is looking for a D for D, you're pretty much limited to Brodin or Spurgeon, right?
Which is what Felska had kind of.
But you'd probably asked. Also you know, Brodin might be an easy one. I mean, he might be
numbers wise. I mean, they're close. They're very similar.
Really close.
Brodin would have a little bit more of a cap hit, so it'd free up. What, $300,000 for us?
And I think Brodin's a couple years younger as well.
Right.
So that there is that to consider as well. But you got to figure that Fletcher's dealing from a side of power. He has the upper hand in this conversation. So accepting a Brodin for Harmonic trade 1-1, that seems silly.
I'm guessing we'd probably get a pick. At least a first round with him, maybe.
Or you look at upgrading a forward along with it, you know.
Right. Something to add to our forward depth that we're obviously lacking right now.
You know, maybe try to move a winger and try to add a center at the same time. You can look at some guys that might be underperforming or that you might not feel will live up to their potential.
For some depth.
You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, Granlund could be a guy that could be included in that discussion because he hasn't been exactly on fire. He has no limitations as far as whether you can move him or not, unlike Pominville, who would be a very easy one to try to move.
Palmers.
You know, but if you try to move Granlund and try to get an upgrade there, you know, there might be some wiggle room there. But really, Fletcher knows he's dealing from a point of strength here. He doesn't need to make a trade. Snow is right. The one who's under pressure to make a trade. And Fletcher shouldn't be giving up the barn for everything here.
Nope. Don't bet the whole farm on it. So,
Speaking of Pominville.
So, Felska also asks, I'm going to read off what he said. What do you think of the Wild using Pominville in the role of shooting winger on the top power play? Is it smart or just hashtag yo knows best?
If he's shooting and getting them on net, hopefully getting some rebounds out of it, not horrible. Obviously, he's been very still snake bitten and.
At what point does it switch from being snake bitten to he just stinks?
Lackluster?
He's just not good. I mean, there has to be a certain point where we go.
We've seen him score. I mean, last year was. This is not indicative to the Pominville that we've seen before.
It's almost like Brodziak left in.
Take over Brodziak's locker?
That's what I was going to ask, you know. Did Brodziak leave like a stink in his locker? An aura of pipes and wide.
Missed back doors.
That's what she said.
I don't know. I think Brodziak still has it with him because I've seen him miss wide back doors this year. So who knows? But I don't know. I think once Parisi gets back, with the top power play, I'm looking at Koivu, Parisi, Vanek, Suter, and who do you maybe
Granny?
Granny. So two centers, two wings, and a D.
And on the second one, you got Zucker has now stepped up into a power play role,
yeah,
which he wasn't there prior, and you already have 2D. On that. Pominville's probably still going to have a role. Does he deserve it? I think that's maybe the question. And
yeah,
and he probably doesn't. I don't think once Parisi's back, he does not deserve
not the top line.
Does not deserve to be on the top line. No,
maybe the second unit.
And that's, Pominville. I have seen him make though some nice passes and nice dishes. I mean, he's been able to move the puck some and set other people up. But once given the chance himself, he can never capitalize on it is the issue that I'm having with him right now.
Well, and honestly, him being a not very physical player, being on the power play probably helps him because he doesn't necessarily need to be as physical.
No, he can get pretty with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And because you're going to expect more power play goals from him, you should, than you will even strength goals because
he's not grit. He doesn't have the grit to get down there.
He doesn't.
So, I mean, yeah, I think if he is going to be on a power play line, definitely more on the blue line side of things, which I guess would be that first power play unit. But, I mean, we just named that what we were thinking.
So. Right, yeah. So, I don't know that he belongs there, but yeah, I'll go with yo knows best.
Yo.
Anybody else have any more comments on that one? Okay. We'll move on to the next question then. Our next question comes in from Josh Wendell at JWendellPGA on Twitter. And his question that he writes in about Mike Riley, he's got the worst plus minus in the AHL. Now, is that a product of a bad team or just simply that he is playing that bad?
I think it's very obviously a bad team. I mean, who are the goal scorers for that team?
Who are the goal scorers? That's a good question.
You got Karenin, who you know had his cup of coffee here. You had Birchie, right, who had his cup of coffee here. Those are the top two scorers, and they both have a combined 20 points in 35 games.
And then Downing and Mitchell each have 4 goals. Karenin's sitting at 5. Everybody else is like 2s, 1s, and a lot of 0s.
Right. You know, you look at even the vets on the team, like Fedotenko, he's got 0 goals, 3 points overall. You got a lot of dead weight on that team.
So they're not scoring goals. And, I mean, overall, pretty much everybody on the team has a negative plus minus. So they're not winning in that effect. So I'm going to have to go with and say that it's more a product of a bad team down there. I know we saw preseason that Mike Riley definitely, I think, has a future in hockey. I don't think there's a question about that.
Right.
I'm sure there's things that he needs to do to learn more about the game and get himself NHL ready. But I do think, though, that it is just that bad of a team down there right now.
Yeah. I mean,
which goes back to our discussion from earlier about, you know, where our depth is when these injuries.
The funny thing is, there's another category he leads the team in, and that's shots on goal.
Shots on
goal. And he's a D-man.
And, yeah.
That shows you how bad things are going down in Iowa.
Right.
As an organization, they need to get something figured out because we've got zero depth. We're seeing it right now with the Wild injuries on the big team.
Yeah. Well, maybe him having the most shots on goal is part of the reason he's also got the highest plus minus. If he's getting, like we're talking about, if he's up front and there's a breakaway and he can't get back.
Or he's just getting that much ice time that, you know.
Right.
He's their go-to guy that's you know,
he's who their they can Parisi
depend on. Yeah.
So that doesn't glide.
Right.
maybe he's getting Suter like time on ice down there, probably. So
not surprising.
Yeah. So. All right. So that should bring us up to our game of the week then.
Let's do it. All
right. So since we're not going to be here next week, we've got 2 weeks worth of games. Coming up over Thanksgiving, the Wild have an ugly 3 games in 4 days, just having Thanksgiving off. Starting Wednesday, at least they're all home games.
Right. Yeah.
We have the Canucks here on Wednesday. Friday, we have the Jets. Saturday, we have the Stars, another back-to-back for the Wild. And then the following Tuesday, we actually travel to Chicago against the Blackhawks.
Here comes!
Back Thursday for the Maple Leafs, and then the following Saturday with the Avs. So
it's a busy 2 weeks.
Busy 2 weeks. We're going to change things up a little bit. No more points and whatnot. I think we're just going to discuss some games. Yeah. So well, this week, Jive, what out of all 6 of those games, what are you thinking?
I don't know. The game that I'm looking forward to the most probably here is going to be the Stars against the Wild here. It was a really close game when the Wild played Dallas the last time in Dallas, with the Wild losing eventually in overtime.
They're top in the conference.
Yeah.
Top in the league. Yeah.
That actually put them above us, I think, when we played them. Yep. Yes, at that time. So, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to that. That game, just, I mean, I think that coming back here, Minnesota, state of hockey, we're going to we're gonna raise up and show those Texans how it's done.
Well, and you know, I honestly, and we're gonna probably sound totally homer in this section here, but I totally agree that I think the Wild have got this one. You know, both teams are gonna be coming off back to backs. The difference is the Wild will be two home back to backs, whereas the Stars will be on the road for this one. And added to that, the Stars haven't had a whole lot of games against the Central. They've only had three games. They're 2-1. And the Wild actually have a better record against Central teams than the Stars do. So I'm going to agree. Wild win. I'm going to go with a 4-2 game because they're both averaging about 6 goals combined for a game. So why not 4-2?
It's pretty close to what I'm thinking, a couple goal difference.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going with the Wild also. Basically for all the reasons both of you just said, except for, you know, I'm kind of tied. I do see a 4 and I see a 3. I'm going to go with Wild 4-3, but I think there's going to be a 2-goal differential. I just don't know exactly where.
All right. Well, I think, have we talked enough about tonight?
We talked your hockey socks off.
All right then. Well, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box, if you missed that when I tried to stumble over that at the beginning of the show, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter. You can also find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, what do you got?
Yeah, you can also see what I'm up to, kind of, sort of, if I update it on about.me/IamKenny. That is KENNEY. It has links to my Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, all that other good stuff.
And, Jav, where can people find you?
You can also find me. I'm on about.me/JiveMidnight. Check into what I'm up to, and, you know, you can also see, I don't know, I like things that are like development and tech. You never know what I might see. It
nerd stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, nerds.
All right, well, I think this is a show. We'll see y'all guys in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.